James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 for the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Where will we be without the cross? At the cross I bow my knee. Looking back, thinking back, remembering what he did for us. He tore the veil and made a way, giving us boldness to enter the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. It's not just a blessing that we have it, but it's a blessing that we know it. There's some people that have it and don't know it. Come on. And then some people think they have it and don't have it. I'm glad I have it and I know it. Now, for heaven's sakes, let's use it for the glory of God. James chapter number 5, new section as we'll close this book during this final section, beginning in verse number 7. And this section will go to verse number 20. Tonight, we'll look, if we could, through verse number 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, as we look at these verses in your word, help us to read them not as words being obscure and overlooked, but may the Holy Spirit make them open and obvious, changing us. Too many people come to church and go back home the same way they came. We need to be changed. Help us. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we come towards the end of this book of James, what a challenge it has been. Amen. Growing up, I hope you've grown up some. I hope you've matured. Well, I'm already grown. You must not understand the Bible. There's always some growing to do. I was watching today as five-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady was being interviewed. And the others that had played with him or had been around him, and the interviewers that had talked with him, said one of the reasons why this 40-year-old quarterback was still playing as well as he was, earning an MVP honor, being the oldest quarterback to win that honor, was because as far along as he's come, as many championships as he's won, he still treats the game of football like he ought to give it his 100%. They say in the morning when you arrive at the weight room, he's already there. When you get to the film room, he's already there. When the young bucks are headed home after practice, he's still there. He's the first to arrive and the last to leave. Maybe that's why he's got so many championships. I run into a lot of Christians who are wondering why they're not growing. Amen. Maybe first thing in the morning, you ought to be there. Last thing at night, you ought to be there. He still thinks that he was that late rounder draft pick that he was, maybe in the fifth or sixth round. I think someone said he wasn't expected to be that great, and now they're talking about him being the greatest ever. He never thinks he's arrived. You know the way to keep growing in the Lord? Never think you arrived. There's always some growing to be done. As we've walked our way through the book of James, James has challenged us with this book, reminding us that if we're going to mature in the Lord, if we're going to grow up, we got to be Christians when it comes to our battles, Christians when it comes to our Bible, Christians when it comes to our beliefs. Christians, when it comes to our behavior, last couple weeks. Christians, when it comes to our boasting. And then the last section, Christians, when it comes to our burdens. How do I handle battles when I got a fight in the Christian life? How do I handle it? You got to be grown up in the Lord and still growing. How do I handle the Bible? I got to be growing. How do I handle my beliefs? I got to be growing. You say, well, if I already believe it, I don't have to keep growing. There are some that used to believe that say they don't believe anymore. They stop growing. If they were ever saved. How do I behave right? You got to grow. There are Christians who know the Bible but are not behaving like they know the Bible because they've ceased to grow. How does a man of God who leads a church to not fall himself?
That's right.
Come on. How does the pastor who's preaching three times a week to the people, telling them not to fall, how does he fall before their eyes when they've yet to fall? Right. He stops growing. He says, I want you to go win souls, and he's not winning any. He says, read your Bible, but he's not reading. He preaches on prayer, but he doesn't pray. He tells men to love their wives. He doesn't love his. He tells wives to respond proper to a loving leader. He tells children to obey their parents. He preaches against lust, but he's a luster. Somewhere along the line, he got a desk and a title. And he got those underneath him. And he got authority and delegation. And he got power. And he's become an expert at proctoring people how to grow. But he stopped growing. There's great passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 that talks about God's wonderful position he gives us when we're saved. And he says that since we all inherit this wonderful position, that we ought to be adding to that position a progression. In other words, he said, I started you off right when you got saved. And since I got you started off right, by the way, I don't care if you got saved at 60 or if you got saved at 6. Each one of you, when you got saved, started at the same position. Amen. And he says, because I got you started off right, you ought to be growing. Amen. And he says, if the position is not met with a progression, then there becomes a problem. He says, you lose your sight and you've forgotten you've been purged from your old sin. Watch this now. You know the Bible. You've been indwelt with the Holy Ghost of God. But because you've not added to what God has given you, you start going blind. You act like you're crazy and you do things that are unchristian. Sometimes not because you're not saved, but because you're not growing. So James says, when it comes to this issue of your burdens. Now remember, we began this text in James. James was writing to not only saved people, the tribes of Israel, scattered people who had been dispersed, but struggling people. They were suffering. They had economic problems. They had discouragement problems. Remember, they were dispersed for their beliefs. And when Christ was crucified, he was not crucified because it was a name pulled out of a hat. He was crucified because they viewed Christianity as a threat to Judaism. They viewed the law as a threat to grace. So they killed the man that came bringing grace. Now let's just be logical. If they killed Christ because he came bringing grace through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can understand how they treated Christians. And James is writing to people who were being mistreated for their faith. And they were suffering. So he says, while you're dispersed and struggling, and while people are doing you wrong, and while you're going through difficulties, remember he just ended the section before then talking about boasting people. Without a doubt, there were Christians who were being mistreated by boasting people. The Christians that didn't have a lot were being mistreated by the Christians who had a lot. And James is writing to those people who were suffering at the hands of people who were rich and well-to-do. And James says, in order to make it, when you're a burdened Christian, you have to be mature. Listen to me. It's only a matter of time before your spiritual maturity or lack thereof shows itself. Because life for each one of us at some point brings burdens. And there are a lot of folks that can shout when their burdens aren't heavy. Amen. And it's amazing how fast a shouter can become a sulker. What happened to you? I mean, who stole your puppy dog? You ever see Christian people and you think, I just saw you a little bit ago and you were on top of the world and now you look like you've been sucking sour lemons, and the first thing they go is, I've been going through a lot, I've been through a lot of trials. If you just knew how bad my life was, you would understand why I'm sulking. Let me tell you something. If you knew just good how good your God was, you'd smile even through your trials. Listen now, Christianity is not a life that's joyful when you don't have burdens. It is a life that is joyful despite your burdens, because the joy of the Lord nobody can take from you. So I want us to take a few thoughts here from James chapter 5 here. We look at these burdens. How can I as a Christian be burdened and press on for the Lord, keep on smiling, staying faithful? Let me ask this question. How can my walk with God not go backwards and not stall when I'm burdened? Sad to say, many Christians, their progress in the Christian life is all based upon their burdens. And you know good and well, you ain't gonna get much out of that Christian when he's got burdens on his back, because he takes time off from God when his load is heavy. James ends this book differentiating spiritually immature Christians and spiritually mature Christians. And James says, I'll tell you how you can tell the difference, because both of them are going to have burdens. If the guy goes down when he has burdens, he's showing he's not mature. So if your Christianity went from A to C when you have a burden, it's a test and a revelation that it really wasn't an A in the first place. I was doing good. I was doing good till I. It's not a good gauge, is it? Amen. There are a lot of people that start off good and don't end good. A lot of games that start off one way and end up. That's why you play four quarters. Amen. Because you don't tell how good a team is 5 minutes into the game. You tell how good a team is after the game has expired. Listen to me, child of God. Just because you're hooping and hollering on Sunday morning doesn't make you a good Christian. Let's see how you're faring on Monday afternoon. Now, write down in your notes. Healthy patience. Be mature when I'm burdened. Here's what James says. You need patience. How many say, Pastor, I need it? Come on. I need it. Have you ever prayed for it? Have you ever prayed for patience? Raise your hand if you've prayed for patience. Okay. Have you ever read Romans chapter 5? Oh, yeah, I read Romans chapter 5. What that got to do with praying for patience? Well, Romans chapter 5 said, tribulation worketh patience. So when you pray for patience, you're asking God for trials. Well, no, I didn't ask God for trials. I asked God for patience. Yeah, but God said the formula for patience is to go through trials. So if you don't want patience, if you don't want trials, don't ask for patience. And guess what? Even if you don't ask for patience, you're still going to have trials. Somebody say amen. So saying that you take your name off the wait list for patience, oh, that's a pun right there, the wait list for patience. Say you ready to take your, I had to take my name off the wait list because I didn't want to wait for patience because I'm impatient. Some of you get that later. But anyway, if you take your name off the wait list for patience, doesn't mean God takes your name off the wait list for trials. You're going to have them anyway. Lost people have trials.
Right.
Amen. So don't think you're going to get out of trials by saying, God, that's okay, I'll do without patience. You're still going to have trials. But if you have trials and you walk in the Spirit, then tribulation can work patience. Watch this now. The spiritually immature Christian has trials and gets bitter. The spiritually mature Christian has trials and gets better. Which one are you? Well, I don't know which one I am. Well, let's give you a report card after you come out of the trial. If your grades went down, you went bitter. If your grades went up, you got better. And it ain't no way your human strength can get you better in trials. It takes the Holy Ghost of God to do that. Healthy patience. Staying power. That's what patience is. Staying power. It's the ability to hold fast, stay put, endure, no matter what comes. When a trial moves you, you didn't have any staying power. Now look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, who? Talking to saved people. Under the coming of the Lord. There must be a sighted prospect. Pastor, I hear you talking about all these things we got to have, but you're not giving me any formula to have it. I am giving you a formula. Here's the formula. In order to be patient, you must have a sighted prospect. A sighted prospect of what? First of all, a scriptural event. What is the scriptural event that I must have sighted in my mind in order to have patience? Here it is. Jesus is coming again. Somebody say amen. Well, Pastor, what does that got to do with my patience? Here's what it is. I must keep looking up to the clouds to know that the trumpet is going to sound, that the Lord is going to come back. What's that got to do with patience? I know that trouble doesn't last always. This trial didn't come to stay. And I may be going through something right now. And it may not jive with my expectation. And it may not fit with my preferences. But there's coming a day. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. I'm getting out of here one day. That's how you build patience. You must have a sighted prospect. Of what? A scriptural event. And then of what? A stimulating example. James said, let me talk to you about the farmer. The farmer needs patience. Huh? He has to be an effective worker. You know what that means? He's got to sow. Amen. But after he sows, he's not only got to be an effective worker, he's got to have some expectant waiting. What's he waiting for? The earlier and latter rains. In that time, when the scripture was written, these early rains came in the autumn months, as we would call them, and they came in an effort to soften the ground. Soften the ground, why? So that farmer could sow seed that would go down into the soil. And then it wasn't until the latter rains of February to March that would come down again in a heavy way to produce fruit. Now James says that farmer has sown the seed, but he doesn't sow the seed on Monday and grow fruit on Tuesday. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even sow the seed on Monday and grow fruit on next Monday. He doesn't sow the seed on Monday and necessarily grow fruit on next month. Is anybody listening? Amen. I said he doesn't sow the seed on one month and get the fruit 2 months from now. Listen to me. I'm saying he's got good seed and he wants good fruit. But in between good seed and good fruit is patience. And James says that's what mature Christians have. Now I'm going to tell you why you got to have it. The effective worker, he's got to sow. The expectant waiting, he's got to wait. But here's the eventual winning. The fruit's going to come. Hey, listen, harvest is coming. You say, I don't believe in harvest. How you think you ate? Somebody sowed seed, somebody grew some fruit, and somehow that fruit got from his farm to your belly. It took patience for you to eat today. That's right. On somebody's part. Right. Now we're not very patient. That's why they got fast food everything. Right. And self-checkout line. And Amazon Prime. come knocking on my door at 9:45 in the evening. I said, what is that man doing on my porch at 9:45? I'm going reaching for something to grab something, thinking this man at my door, and then he goes leaving. I'm thinking this stalker done come at my house in the middle of 9:45. No postman come at 9:45. My honey said, that's Amazon Prime. Why you get Prime? Because we don't want to wait. Huh? You want good stuff? You better learn how to wait. Now here's the danger of not waiting. When you're not waiting, you stop winning. Here's what happens. You keep putting seed out. Where is it? Man, watch it. I just sowed that seed yesterday. I ain't got no fruit yet. Honey, go out there and look out there. Is fruit grow yet? No. When you sow, I sowed it last week. 2 weeks later, this don't make no sense. I put that seed in that ground. And what is taking so long for that fruit to grow? You know what happens after a while? You're so upset that the fruit's taking so long, you quit sowing. Now, you know what happens when you quit sowing? You quit growing. You can't reap if you don't sow. I know that's deep, but I think you handle it on Sunday night. You can't reap if you don't sow. And many that used to reap don't reap anymore because they were too impatient to wait for the harvest, so they quit sowing. Now, some of you looking at your watch right now. Now, I'm not even talking about Subo. I'm talking about your spiritual watch. I don't understand why God hadn't answered my prayer yet. Well, I don't understand why if you just started a prayer life last month, you think that God should make up for your lack of praying all them other months, and he's obligated to answer you fast when it took him forever to get you to you. Somebody help me preach. I don't understand why the Christian life isn't getting easier. I read my Bible this morning. Yeah, but you just started reading. Now, you done sown all them bad seeds in the flesh. Running out in the world and clubbing and drinking and smoking and partying and cussing. And you've been in church 1 month and learned a few verses in Psalm 119. Now watch this now. God's supposed to stop the fruit from growing in the seed where you did the most sowing. And he's supposed to accelerate the fruit to grow in the field where you did some barely sowing. Trying to teach you to wait. And by the way, if you're not looking up at Jesus coming while you wait, you may wait, but you wait with a bad attitude. Now, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. There's no secret. There you go, Brandon. Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. And the kind of fan you are, sir? Redskin, well.
That's fire.
I want you to know I still love you. Didn't talk about his Bible. Redskins is Bible. That ain't Bible. That's heresy.
Come on now.
The wise men followed the star. That's Bible. But last night, one of the Dallas Cowboys players who's he didn't only play for the Cowboys, but he played a good number of years for the Cowboys, Terrell Owens. Finally, after being, as we call it, snubbed for a number of years, made the NFL Hall of Fame. Finally. And I think he's worthy, but he had a lot of off the field and bad attitude and antics that delayed what would have been automatic if he was perceived better by people. So he got in, and I'm happy for him, and I'm glad he got in. But he's been going to the Hall of Fame every year. And what they do is you get to a certain stage and they invite you. And then somebody comes, knocks on your door while you're staying in the hotel. You don't know if you're going to get a knock. You're just there. And when you receive the knock, that's when you find out you actually made it. He's been there the last several years and didn't get the knock. So he didn't go this year. And they were coming to knock. Now, he still got in the Hall of Fame. But he missed the joy of the experience because his bad attitude had him waiting with the wrong spirit. Now he's in. But when they ask him, what does it feel like to be in? He said he had no comment. Now, there's another Dallas Cowboy player. I think his name was Everson Walls. He was a cornerback for Dallas Cowboys. He's been waiting a long time, and he still didn't get in. He said last night, "I'm disappointed, but you know what? I'm going to keep on waiting because this is a process. I've come a whole lot farther than I thought I should come." Now, let me tell you something. There's a chance that a few years down the road, because of a senior entry, that he'll get into the Hall of Fame. And I'm not a betting man, but if I was, and I didn't think it was unscriptural, I would say that Everson is going to enjoy the call into the Hall of Fame more than T.O. did, not just because they both waited, but one waited with a good attitude and another waited with a bad attitude. Now, how do you wait with a good attitude? You keep your eyes on the prize. For them, it's a Hall of Fame. For you and me, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving a crown. If your attitude stinks, start looking up. I'm just not a patient person. It's not in my DNA. You look long at them clouds long enough, you'll get patience that didn't come from your DNA. Amen. It came from your capital G-O-D. So there's a scriptural, there's a cited prospect, which is a scriptural event and a sensible example. And then there's a, not only a cited prospect, but there's a supposed process. And here's the supposed process. Be ye also patient. Here's the process of the Christian life. You need staying power. Then he says, be established. You need a strong position because you have a sure promise. His coming draweth nigh. 2,000 years ago. And if the theologians are right, James's writing could have been as soon as 12 to 15 years after Jesus had gone to heaven. And not even 30 years after Jesus had left, James was already looking for him to come back. Now, if they were looking for him 15, 20 years after he left, what in the world do you think we ought to be doing 2,000 some years after he left? Looking for him. Let me close with this thought. He says, the supposed process also leads to a sufficient possession. Patience gives you a sighted prospect. You're looking up to the return of Christ. Patience gives you a supposed process. You're strong and established. But patience also gives you a sufficient possession. Patience keeps you satisfied. And here's how you know you don't have it, when you grudge it against other people. Grudge not. Inappropriate complaints. The word grudge is the same word for groaning. Sometimes trials make us groan. The Bible said when Jesus sighed in himself, he sighed. It was a groan. Holy Spirit offers groanings that we cannot be. How many know that sometimes trials have us groaning inside, right? Hurting. But look how he uses the word here in James chapter 5. He says, grudge, or the word groan there is what it means there. Grudge not against another. He said the way you groan when you're going through abdominal pain, he said that's the way some Christians groan against each other. See somebody and they bring out the grunt in you. You know why? They got something you don't have, and you're mad they got it. Come on. They are somebody you're not, and you're mad they are. Grudge not against one another. Inappropriate complaints lead to inevitable condemnation. There's the verse. The judge standing at the door. You go ahead and grumble against. You hold grudges against other believers. You keep grunting. Going around grunting to other people, gossiping and grunting. Hey, listen to me. The Bible said the judge can hear you.
That's right.
And here's a great thought that I thought reading this passage of scripture. It also teaches that sometimes the things we groan about the most are the very things we're guilty of. Yeah. And I've heard many Christians spend way too many minutes complaining about something, not realizing that the thing they complained about was the thing they quite often commit. I can't stand when people do that. Just get on my last nerve. And you sitting there listening and going, does he hear himself? Come on. They didn't say thank you. And sometimes it's people that say that don't ever say thank you. They don't never say thank you. And you're saying to yourself, sound like you. Be careful. This thing about maturity is serious. Listen, you can't be a good Christian and lack patience. You need it. Life's too rough. Burdens are too automatic. You got to have patience. And I don't care how impatient your natural personality is. Looking up at Jesus will supersede the natural with supernatural. God is greater than your natural character traits. Amen. I don't care who your daddy was, who your mama was. When you got adopted into the family of God, you got a new father. Amen. Amen. And his supernatural power will supersede your natural, genetic, generational curses. You can be like your heavenly father, amen, and not reciprocate the errors of your human father with God's power. Amen. And by his grace and by his mercy, it's my prayer that we'll all continue to grow up. Our Father, thank you for your precious word. Continue to draw us to you and help us to be better Christians for your glory and for our good. We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand in the